Good evening and welcome, dear ones. Welcome to this blessed evening. It is so good to gather again this evening. So we'll begin our time in the name of the Father and of the Son and in the name of the Holy Spirit. God transcendent, omnipresent, immanent, the holy living trinity of being, of love. Amen. Tonight, we light the Christ candle again in special remembrance and commemoration of Tim Cook, the co-founder of the Church of Conscious Harmony, spiritual father, teacher, son of God, beloved, who passed into the heavenly realms last Thursday morning, November 9th. And as you learned, perhaps a little while ago, his memorial service will be held on Saturday, December 9th at 2:00 in the afternoon. And you will be able to attend in person and also online. So let us remember all of these saints and teachers who have gone before us, opened a door, sent forth a great energy. I remember Father Thomas, once said, where will I be going? I'll still be here. You can ask me anything. And I'm sure that's true for Tim as well. We owe them a great deal for this. And at the same time, there is more. There is our own part, and that is what we're here to listen to wonder about, and to step forth boldly, like the individuals who come before us on Thursday night and now on Sunday mornings. So we stand in awe and gratitude that we have personally known and still know these blessed beings. Tonight, we will read an excerpt from a talk that Tim gave on Good Friday, April 6, 2007. It was transcribed and published in the 10th Man School Handbook, and the subject was on radical kenosis. This is what he had to say. The self-improvement project puts us in danger of living like the fallen angel who wants to be God, saying, I am going to stay on as me. I'm going to take the spirit that God gave me and be a greater me, a better me. I'm even going to be a real helpful me and change the future. I'm going to make a difference in the world. This implies knowing what is needed. It implies projecting ourselves forward. We have a tendency to project ourselves towards the future. Can you see how that works? It won't work. We're not going to get out of here with our present identity. At some point, we will put it down. To go into the tomb means to enter into our own unconscious, where it is dark, where we don't want to go, where we've been avoiding going all our lives, and where the true emptying actually takes place. That's what keeps us away from the love of God, and that's what keeps us projecting a sense of a heroic me into a future we think we know will happen. Jesus gives it up, and he invites us to follow him into regeneration by giving it up. And so it is now that we look at the mother of humanity for an example, that we too do not cling to the prerogatives that she could have had. Jesus and Mary are examples of the way, not clinging to life. And yet they are honored in death. May their joy be ours. And with a renewed sense of urgency, we give ourselves to this work of transformation, not knowing where it leads, but in the faith, the hope, the trust, and the love that it does lead somewhere because we've seen it and known it. May it be so. So just a note, in celebration of Thanksgiving, we will not have our class, although we will have an email next Thursday. And following next Thursday, there will be two final classes for this year, November 30th, and we will focus on our other way shower, which is Jesus the Christ, and have a very special guest among us. And December 7th, where we will celebrate the year of holy remembering and welcome all that has been, is now, and would be into the future. So happy Thanksgiving, dear friends. We have been given so very much. So now let us prepare and enter even more deeply into the great silence and stillness, where we can begin to see and understand and consent to embodiment in our own particular incarnation, as lowly or as highly as it has been manifested on this earth. And so we do so quietly, opening our minds to hear what is ours at this time, opening our hearts to value it, to have affection for it, and then open the possibility of our being to manifest as our very selves, just as we are. So we place ourselves with intention and imminent trust, receptivity to these influences that are coming to us from the circle of conscious humanity. And we prepare to be awake to them, to consciously receive them. With back upright, heart open, mind quiet, and directed attention, body relaxed, noticing perhaps and then releasing tension, constriction, resistance. We breathe in deeply all every most hidden part of our being, all being, everything, everything that passed through us this day, our world today, everything that may have hurt, confused, created fear, brought heaviness, that left us feeling powerless, less than, more than, everything. Everything that uplifted, that loved, that brought joy, all affirming, all denying, and we hold it as offering, reconciled, as food for being. We lift it and ask that all be transubstantiated in our being as whole, as lovely, as radiant, as beloved of God. Hidden in God through Christ. We do this on behalf of everyone and everything. And we breathe out this healing light into the world, all worlds. I hand over all complexities. I hand over all anxieties and small fears of my heart. I open to the divine human life that has been gifted to me. I am here. I am. I wish. I can work. I stand unencumbered before God and one another. And so it is. So now we enter into our time of Lectio Divina. And we will share our reading. It will be read three times. With a silent pause in between each reading. A great sign appeared in the sky. A woman clothed with a sun. She gave birth to a son. A male child destined to rule all the nations. Therefore rejoice, you heavens, and you who dwell in them. She gives voice to human finitude, and as mother of humanity and as our mother, she stands in helplessness under human pain and within human pain when she stands under the cross. Standing in a way that does not replicate its hatred and violence. She contents herself with wisdom, with pondering, with a state of being. Hers is absolute emptiness, poverty, obscurity, which holds within it the secret of all joy because it is full of God. When the mystery of God's love breaks through into my consciousness, do I run from it? Or am I virgin enough to respond from my deepest, truest self and say something new? A yes that will change me forever. A great sign appeared in the sky. A woman clothed with a sun. She gave birth to a son, a male child destined to rule all the nations. Therefore rejoice, you heavens, and you who dwell in them. She gives voice to human finitude, and as mother of humanity and as our mother, she stands in helplessness under human pain and within human pain when she stands under the cross, standing in a way that does not replicate its hatred and violence. She contents herself with wisdom, with pondering, with a state of being. Hers is absolute emptiness, poverty, obscurity, which holds within it the secret of all joy, because it is full of God. When the mystery of God's love breaks through into my consciousness, do I run from it? Or am I virgin enough to respond from my deepest, truest self and say something new, a yes that will change me forever? A great sign appeared in the sky, a woman clothed with the sun. She gave birth to a son, a male child destined to rule all the nations. Therefore rejoice, you heavens, and you who dwell in them. She gives voice to human finitude, and as mother of humanity, and as our mother, she stands in helplessness under human pain and within human pain when she stands under the cross, standing in a way that does not replicate its hatred and violence. She contents herself with wisdom, with pondering, with a state of being. Hers is absolute emptiness, poverty, obscurity, which holds within it the secret of all joy because it is full of God. When the mystery of God's love breaks through into my consciousness, do I run from it? Or am I virgin enough to respond from my deepest, truest self and say something new, a yes that will change me forever? Amen. So you are now invited to share what you receive from this passage. And I see that Jack and Jackie have your hands up. And so, Jack, are both of you are invited to speak? Good evening.
Yeah, good evening. Well, I want to thank the community for the prayers. The last few weeks, I did go in to St. David's and have the surgery on my upper spine 24 hours ago.
Yeah.
24 hours ago, and I made a pasta dish tonight. but how this ties in is that at the end of my stay, the hospitalist that comes in was a Maryam, M-A-R-I-Y-I-M, Sahib, a Muslim with the most beautiful black outfit, Maryam, and the black, and then a little white showing. And she was the most beautiful and gracious person. She was, as the verse said, she was looking over everything, making sure I had everything right, questioning others. And it's such a sweet, I was like, I was enraptured by this person. She was a beautiful person. She was a beautiful Muslim Mary. Mm. And as you are, and as Mary was, and I really can't say any more without breaking up so much that my stitches will split. So I'll just leave it there.
Ah, that's beautiful, Jack. Beautiful, beautiful.
Thank you.
Yes. And heal quickly, quickly. And yes. We're with you, Jackie.
Yes. Mary is the role model. And as with all of our lessons, they always come precisely at the right moment for the work that we have to do in the moment. And there is so much in this human finitude. We are going to end in this life, this particular life at some point. But she stands in helplessness under human pain and within human pain. And ultimately, the question is that she gives up a yes. And so my question is, what is my yes? There's a lot that we're grieving right now. And everybody in the community seems to know that. But it is, it's difficult. And one of the stages, the Kubler-Ross stages of grief include anger. And I find myself, I think I'm really present. I am really struggling not to give way to things. But I find when I'm driving in an automobile, I hear voices in me coming up that are clearly angry with all of this that is happening right now, that is causing grief and is really pushing certainly me to my edges. And I know Jack as well. And I realize that in this passage, she is standing in a way that does not replicate hatred and violence. So she is right in this moment, my role model. I'm not going to push those eyes that have a moment in an automobile where they need to express themselves. I can love them also, just like I love the dog that died 2 weeks ago and this dog that's dying also right now. And all the grief that we're going through with Tim in particular right now, it is a gift that we are grieving. I recognize that. And I wish to love myself during all of this process and to know and to try to prayerfully seek what is my yes in the midst of all of this? What is the development that is being given, offered to me right now that I will not have in any other way as I would in the time of grief, which is a precious moment. So I am really grateful in all of this.
Yes, Jackie, that's, it's so true. Every morning we can ask, what is my yes? And every evening close, did I live by my yes today? Mm-hmm. Yes, thank you, Jackie. You and Jack both are models, friends, and companions for all of us.
Thank you.
Amen.
Thank you. So Don Hale, another beloved in the dark.
Uh-oh. Okay.
we know you're there.
I promised David that was going to be really nice. I'm going to say just what I wanted to say, and I'm not going to add to it, but I've already got off that track already. I just want to double what you said about with Jack and Jackie too. Thank you so much. And Jack, thank you so much for sharing with how you're doing, because you've been definitely in my prayers, and it's wonderful to see you, and I love you, and I love you both. And but also tonight's reading is this question. I was like, how can emptiness be full? How can emptiness, and that it says it tonight, emptiness is full of God, right? Has to be the mystery. And it's a big mystery how something empty can be full. This morning's reading with about the Mary was also, it had that mentioning about how today I've been meditating on the idea, what is it mean to be full of grace? How can you be full of grace? What is grace and how can you be full of it? And I think that question right there tonight answered it for me. It's empty with God. It means you're full of grace. And I thank you for that.
Thank you, Don. Bless you. Tracy, good evening.
Oops. Good evening, Marianne and everyone. Such beautiful sharing. I don't know how much more I can add, but I do just want to thank you for the beautiful email. It was so profound, such a beautiful prayer, and so beautifully stated. I haven't had a relationship with Mary for most of my life. And I'm just growing as I age, more and more appreciation and depth. And I just, so many things resonated as true, especially based on my recent experience. This ministry of holding and knowing and being is a lot of what I've been living, and just allowing all of it, regardless of how we may feel about it or how we might want to judge it, just bearing it all. And Mary being such a model for us in that, and her poverty, her emptiness and willingness, and that's really been with me too. And Merton's quote of, I am the poverty of God. I am the littleness of God. I am the nothingness of God. Mm-hmm. And the truth of that, and how that is our path to receiving. Mm. And of course her yes, and this is a journey into the unknown, and moment by moment living in that space of the unknown with nothing but a yes, nothing but that willingness. And if we can't come up with that, God help me, I wish to say yes. And just do our best. And so I just I don't know what else to say, but my heart feels full, and thank you.
Yes, thank you, Tracy. So well said. Thank you. So Sharon, we'll close this portion with you. Good evening.
And can you hear me, Marianne?
Yes, indeed.
Good evening, everyone. I'm going to look at my phone with the reading that was written earlier. And the line that really resonates for me is, or am I virgin enough to respond from my deepest, truest self? And to me, that is the gift of the innocence. And with that, in being innocent, I can open to the mystery, to the grace, to the mercy, to all the possibilities, because I can present myself as a virgin to every moment, mm-hmm. no matter what that moment may be. So thank you.
So thank you, Sharon. Thank you. Before I welcome our guests this evening, I'd like to let you know that at the very close of our evening, after the prayer, we will have just a little over a minute of a treat. So I invite you to stay until the very end. And we'll close with this expression of grace in our midst, and enter into the night with it. So for now, I am just delighted and filled with joy to welcome Mimi Conroy, who will speak to us of her relationship with Mary, the Mother of God, the Mother of Humanity. Good evening and welcome, Mimi. You need to unmute.
The very thing that I've always not wanted to do. Good evening. I am slightly embarrassed in this moment because I forgot what the homework was from last week. Last week in Tim's passing, I really don't remember. I do not remember. So I know I was in group and we did share, but we were talking a lot about Tim and So if anyone, and Jim's presentation was so beautiful, and I'm sure we had a great deal to share. So if someone would be brave enough to help me here.
Perhaps Jim would like to step forth. Yes,
good. I was going to call on him, but I thought, you know, thank you, Jim.
Absolutely. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah.
Okay, great. Yeah, so there were kind of four homework assignments last week. One of them was to explore our image of God, and to explore any places that we might have resistance to trusting God fully. There was a video that was presented of an interview with a fairly popular podcaster and neuroscientist who kind of divulged his relationship with God publicly. And just to there was an invitation just to see if any of the themes that we talked about last week of receptivity or consent or trust, if you noticed any of those in that conversation. We also reviewed the four consents. So there was an invitation just to see if any one of those either were a particular challenge for you or an area of resistance, or if any of them came more easily. And then there was also the encouragement to read one of the commentaries on higher consciousness, I believe was the theme of that commentary, but just a sequence of commentaries leading up to Advent. And one of them was prescribed for us to read last week. And then there's also the ongoing invitation to consider the idea of a vigil in November and December. So that's kind of an overarching assignment. So those were our homework pieces from last week.
Very good. You know, the one thing I was just going to say in my memory of the homework was one word, and it was consent. And I thought, how beautiful to have that message before speaking of Mary. Hi, Jackie.
Hello. Last week when Jim spoke about receptivity, he asked, what are we seeking to receive? We aim to become receptive to the influences coming from our higher centers. The last few weeks, I've been in a state of self-remembering where I felt a sweet stirring of energy around my heart and a relaxation of my brain. I was observing a state of being present to others and how I was unable to get caught up in their negativity or in my own negative thoughts. I listened intently instead of forming the thoughts of how I could respond to the situation. In some cases, I dropped the need to respond and just quietly sat with them or the situation, knowing that God will provide his guidance. At other times, I responded with a prayer, such as, my prayers are with you for your highest good. What a gift. I found the energy flowing in me has lessened now, and my wish is to experience it all the time. I realize this is only possible if I do my work on myself instead of criticizing others or events in the world. Thank you.
When you were reading, I was thinking, hi, Lee. I was thinking how long I've known you. And I really see that we have an opportunity here to really just honor each other's work on behalf of the community and greater man. But I have gotten to the place where I don't want to let the moment pass, you know, and to say, good work, Jackie and Lee. We've been friends for a long time. Thank you. Lisa.
Good evening, My friend. You'd think after 3 years I wouldn't be so nervous to speak, but here I am. My experience last week has just been amazing regarding the homework. I was really and have been very struck with the timeliness of Tim's passing, with all that we have been learning regarding imaginal realm and consenting, the four consents in particular, that Jim shared with us last week. And my own awareness during the homework was of where I, you know, where do I struggle with the four consents? Which one in particularly? And where is my greatest resistance and my least resistance? So in the beginning of the week, I clearly saw that so much of my personality throughout my life has been resisting the first consent, which is that I'm a precious child of God and that I'm enough. And then as the week went past, as a lot of you know, I've been through several surgeries. And then yesterday, I had four teeth extracted for the first time in my life, right in the front. And this morning, I had the most profound experience looking in the mirror and seeing my face look exactly like my mom. Particularly in her diminishment. So, the tears come from gratitude because it was the first time in my adult life I realized that my mom is now transcended and can actually help me with my own diminishment at this time in my life. And I have never had that experience with her. And it was extremely healing, and I'm still processing it. And the Mother Mary is so perfect. I too have not had a relationship with her in the past. And over the past few months, I've been invited into the circle of women to explore Mary. So the timing has just been profound. And I'm so grateful for the work and for everyone. Thank you.
Thank you, Lisa. Well, it's kind of awkward. You never know how long to wait. Anything? David.
Hi, Mimi.
Hi, dear.
It's good to see you and everyone, of course. I'm relating to what other friends have shared this evening a lot. And the thing that really struck me from the homework was also about the consents. And it, you know, I went right to the third consent as the one that I, you know, half of it I'm okay with, the other half not so okay. Like consenting to diminishment. I feel like I'm, you know, handling that all right. I'm, you know, I've been probably as identified with the body as anybody, but, you know, it's not the body that it used to be. And I'm generally pretty okay with that. But the other piece of how that consent is worded is, letting go of everything and everyone that we love. It doesn't want to do that. You know, and as I'm reflecting on that just tonight, I think I have a little deeper understanding, which is so much of the earlier part of my life, I didn't love anywhere near the way I love now, or love is not loving through me. or it didn't earlier in my life. And it's such a joy. And I just find myself in love with everyone and everything, and I'm loving it. Don't want to let it go. So that's going to be some journeying involved there.
Good work, my friend. Thank you. I can feel that we're all just right in the place to be with Mary tonight. It's lovely. Well, shall we? Oh, Dawn or Deborah? Or Dawn? Deborah.
It's Deborah.
Hi.
Hi. So I wanted to say that with the idea of what our image of God is and how it's changed, that I have gone through all of these gender things that reflect what's happening in culture, because we, you know, I was raised with a he God, and then for me, I wanted a she God. And I began to really devote myself to Mary, and I have felt mothered by her my entire life. We both are those motherless children that had Mary there. But it has become they, them, my image of God. And it's something like the quantum field, but only much more than we could imagine. And I talked to someone who said they'd had a near-death experience, and it was like entering this energy field, and there was no good or bad. There was no duality. It was just energy, pure energy. And then they were revived and came back, and it was just such a, I don't know, that's just a perfect metaphor for where I've come in my way of seeing God. And I think what's awkward is that there's so much he language in the Christian tradition, and it's been a journey to neutralize my objection to something. It's been my work, and I really feel like we've had great teachings on this. So anyway, that's my image of God.
Thank you, Deborah. Hi, Michael. Hi, Pamela.
Hi. I think there's a bridge between last week's lesson and this week's lesson. And that is that to consent, really, is to be full of grace. I have, in the last few months, had a few different cases where I'm called to consent. Life circumstances, body circumstances, you name it. And in most of these cases, what was there was consent. And I feel that the consent is given through grace, or that to, you know, just to do that. I mean, just to consent to the tough things is a graceful state. And I can also identify some areas where I'm called to consent and I don't wanna. Mm. Right, where there's that resistance, where there's the no, where there's the aversion. And I'm aware in the context of this conversation tonight that that resistance is an indication that I am not full of grace in relationship to that particular event. So, Hail Mary, full of grace, and on a good day, me too, and sometimes not.
You know, Michael, while you were talking, I was feeling that all of our doubt in the human emotions and things we bring to this, and the fact that, honestly, I don't know how I can consent, that that's part of Mary's, the, you know, just the whole process is that we are human and we try, you know, and we are human and we know godly things and we falter.
Right. Well, I feel like, I mean, to consent is a graceful act.
It's like the lowering of the, you know, just kind of lower my head and just,
Yeah.
Thank you, Michael. I guess that's a really good place for us to enter our evening. And Kathy, we can begin. And so the title, Remembering Our Mother Mary, is huge. And as I went through, which I had a little earlier view of the email than y'all did, you know, there were a lot of amazing points covered. And I don't know if y'all know, but I'm not a biblical scholar. Just sorry to let you know that now. I will be throwing some stuff out, so bear with me. But my relationship with Mary, I say my relationship with the Marys. And so I would like to begin this night as I share my personal journey with Mary, to begin with the prayer of Hail Mary. And Kathy. And I'm going to read the prayer and just be with it in the gentle energy that as this group of this configuration of people is going to land for this night. And so in all of our hearts, we hunger for Mary. And so I feel into my heart as we pray. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mother, Mother of God, pray for us. Pray for us sinners now and of the hour of our death. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. Amen. Okay, Kathy. I begin with the Mary, the first Mary I ever met. And this Mary is the Virgin Mary, the innocent, the obedient. I met her as a child, and I didn't at the time connect with Mary. I connected with Jesus more. But I did have a memory of Mary in my heart. This Mary, with her innocence and her obedience and her poverty and her chastity, was a Mary I would have to loop back around to get to know after I had done long work in this church. Because what was one of the hardest things for me to uncover was my innocence. And so I couldn't feel the full glory. Well, none of us can. But even yet, I didn't have an understanding of obedience, of many of the attributes of the early Mary, the Mary that opened herself. I was able in my life with this church to go and live up at St. Benedict's for 3 months. And this is where I went up to learn how to do retreats, which Barbara already knew, but we needed more people that knew how to do them. So I went there to learn about retreats. And what, of course, happened is I learned about myself and a little bit how to run retreats. I befriended Abbot Joseph and Father Theophane right away. I just really enjoyed their company. And one day when I was sitting out under the aspens with Abbot Joseph, I asked him why they had that huge stained glass of Mary in the chapel. And Abbot Joseph smiled and he said, "She completes us, all of these men and our mother." And the way he spoke about Mary started to bring something alive even more in me. Now, I'm going to kind of loop back a little bit in my life. As Deborah had mentioned, that she and I both lost our mothers at a very young age. And so I was always looking for a mother. And I had lots of neighborhood mothers that tried to teach me how to, you know, one of them, every time I saw her, she'd lick her thumb and push my eyebrows up and tell me I needed to keep an eye on my eyebrows. You know, so I had all these mothers around me that were just lovingly teaching me to grow up. So I'm always looking for a mother, and I would go to church with just about anybody that would take me, because my family were not real churchy people. And I lived in a Jewish neighborhood, so I ended up at synagogue a lot. And I didn't get a lot of feminine representation from that, but there was some solace in my heart of the ceremonies in Judaism and the Shabbat and the Sabbath. I was able to become part of this, and I was very, very, very fortunate. And it was a balm to my lost daughter's heart. I will now move into where Mary and I really met. And for those of you that remember, and for those of you that are new, our founder, co-founder and minister, Tim Cook, every single Good Friday would read a book to us, not the book, but the Passion play on Good Friday. And I remember after two or three years of him doing this, I looked up Dolores and thought, oh my, I should have seen that coming in. You know, it's a deep and full sorrow. And this Catherine Ann, or is it Ann Catherine Emmerich, was a sister in the St. Augustine. I'm not quite sure, but this book were her visions of this very, very deep and powerful sorrow. And Tim would read it, and we would sit and listen. And one year, I was there, I'd heard it before, but one year, a portal opened for me. And I have a son. And in this reading and in the powerful imaginal space in which I met Mary, my son was Jesus. And I was with Mary down at the bottom of the cross and looking up and, you know, the anguish and the agony. And as I'm an Enneagram type 7, so deep, deep feelings are now I know them, but then, you know, I didn't have a lot of deep bodily experiences, but this one glued me to the chair so long that Karen Riddles, who was our secretary, came and put a note on my knee because I was still in the sanctuary 3 hours later and said, lock up. And so I sat there and I felt suffering like I've never felt before. I felt what it was like, and I met Mary Magdalene at the same time. And when I walked out that day, my life has never been the same. I found a mother, and it was very, very clear to me. My name, I was named Miriam, and I'm called Mimi. And this community was so loving to me all the time that they even let me change my name for a year. I thought, I need to try and see if I can live as Miriam. And it was interesting because I had a lot of different ideas about the name Miriam, and it was often used when I was in trouble. So I had to kind of get over that. And then after a year, it just didn't take. My spirit is Mimi, but I'm named Miriam. And I knew that that was a name that meant something in my family because I'm the third Miriam in the lineage. I did not know that that was Mary's Aramaic name until I began to look into her life. And so there are many of us, Marys, Miriams, Marias, you know, named for that lineage. I have a relationship with the Mother Mary because we both had sons who grew. And it was in my looking back on my life that I saw one day that when you have a child, what starts to happen is each day they become more independent, whether we see it or not. And they learn to walk and they start walking away from us, coming back, but walking away. A little bit older, the walking aways lasted a little bit longer. you know, then they go to school, go to college, go to the army, wherever our sons and daughters go. So the mother heart is a heart of goodbyes, but always soft to welcome our children back. And I know that mother's heart. So I know Mary's heart. It holds us. We are the daughters and sons of the universe. And this powerful Mary comes to us as many, many different Marys. So I bring in at this time the Mary of Bethany and Martha, and my work as a woman and balancing my prayer and my work. So Martha to me is another Mary. And that's another place that I worked on myself, is balancing the Marys, bringing the Martha and Mary together. Something has to get done, but there's the better part. I want ears to hear the better part. And so we look at this Mary, and we look at her veil, the head tilted. It's often tilted to the right, but there are some pictures to the left. And it is submission. It is consent. But what it is to me is just a monomaniacal focus on God, the Son of God in my arms. And even while we, as Marys, as mothers and fathers, carry our children while we can, and then allow them to walk away and become their own people, we stand by them. We have expectations and hopes. And that's probably another place where we get hurt. You know, there's so many different places that we open our heart for suffering. And back to another thing, our founding father, Tim Cook, he was just uncanny when it came to, you know, having us experience something in our own way and the room to be an individual, that I could go into this focus on Mary. And for many years, no one in this church knew it. It was my very personal thing. How am I looking always with my head just a little bit tilted, with the veil that keeps me focused, that keeps me, you know, just obedient, that keeps me consenting? Because it does have in my heart a bodily expression. And that's what Mary shows us in picture after picture. And she's a humble Mary, the Mary that was the mother. And so she grew. She grew with Jesus. And as he grew, we hear about she was there when he was in the temple, turned the tables over. But it was a time where she was starting to know that he's not going to be around a lot longer. I think, you know, he's starting to go away and not come back for a few days. And so Mary's heart is always a soft place to return home. Go away for days, but come back. Come back to my heart. And so in that beautifully graceful consent, Jesus grew with his mother. And one of the things that I really appreciate is the marriage at Cana. And this is from Maurice Nicol. And it's just a brief reading. But it talks about a little bit of the symbolism with Mary and Jesus. Between whom was the marriage? Notice nothing is said about the bride and the groom. Jesus and his mother surely are externally represented by mother and son. Understood psychologically, it is about an internal union of natural and spiritual in Jesus. Why then does not the master of the feast realize what has taken place? Why was it impossible for him to understand, so much so that the servants under the orders of the master of the feast? Because a new master has appeared almost secretly. And notice that this new master does not say anything to the master of the feast, whom we may term the old master. When man changes his whole psychology in such a profound way, the former master of it is no longer in control, but another greater master appears. By self-mastery as regards the natural side of him represented by the mother, Jesus reached a stage in which the old master had no longer any power, and yet did not know what had happened. Jesus was not master of the feast, but no one tells the former master what has taken place. They're all silent. There is no rivalry, only silence. A transformation has taken place, actually in terms of water into wine. But nothing happened through violence. In all the miracles of Jesus, there was never violence or rivalry. There was in place silence. Jesus told Pilate that if necessary, he, Jesus, could call powers into action that would bring about his release, but he did not use them. Violence breeds violence, and it is a strange line of thought that leads to reflection upon what is master in oneself and how to overcome, or rather, to turn aside from it. Nothing must be said to antagonize and inflame it. Even Pilate could see a little about Jesus, and the master of the feast could appreciate a good wine. But no doubt the latter would have been a difficult factor to handle if the miracle had been explained by his servants and the master's authority disputed. So the mother of Jesus now comes to the place of her son's death. And at the base of that cross is Mary Magdalene and the mother of God. Here, the motherhood is in all of this, as a tale, as a myth, as something that we have all grown up with in one way or another. The actors in this passion play have come alive to me in a very organic way, in that I met Mary Magdalene before I could fully, or as fully as I have now, accept the Virgin Mary, the young Mary, the innocent Mary. I had to go through some things to discover my innocence. And I love the organic way that this has worked in me, because my Marys are all one, and they're different facets of the other. And I am now passionately feeling a new mother being born in this world, a mother and a woman of balance. And that brings me to Mary Magdalene. And if we could go to the Mary Magdalene, I talked through that one. And go to the red. And so we've got Mary Magdalene. And she's a wild one. And this is where I believe that the knowledge and the meeting of knowledge and love. And I believe that Mary Magdalene, you know, and these are, you know, beliefs other people have as well, but that she and Jesus were partners in many different ways. And the work that we study here is called the fourth way. Well, there's a fifth way, and you can read about it in Cynthia Bujold's book on the meaning of Mary Magdalene. And the beauty of this Mary is she is very available to this world. This world that we all wake up to every day, this wild world that's changing. How do I stay in my heart? How do I be the soft place to fall and wild at the same time? How do I help this feminine land on this earth that needs it sorely? And I believe that we're entering a time of Mary. I believe that Mary, as the overriding persona here, is the Queen of Heaven. She, all grace comes through Mary. So if you have experienced grace, you have a relationship with Mary. Mary is the queen of all the angels, the archangels. She's got it all. And so we can, those of us that think, well, do I have a relationship with Mary? Well, if you felt grace, you do. You do. And this is a radical receptivity that we're talking about here. And this is what I think scares people a little bit about Mary Magdalene and her wildness, is that it's not as picture perfect as the beautiful Virgin. The Mary Magdalene never has her head bowed. And she is walking into the world. And what do we need now is a walking into the world with balance and equanimity. And what I say about that is balance of the feminine and the masculine in each of us in such a way. And I believe that is what we're called to, as balanced man as well, that there's an androgynous kind of being that we really are. Let's see. Let's go to the last slide of this. To me, is my Mary. you know, looking right at you. No apologies. This is what we have available to us in this troubled world that we live in right now. And so students of the work are, we gain a lot of tools in the work. And I mean, the tools use me now. I don't think, well, I have to externally consider. External considering becomes me. You know, it's a beautiful thing after so many years of doing this work, studying this work. The Mary aspect, I think, is going to be a new part of our reality and of the reality all over the world. The mothers are rising all over the world, and the grandmothers, and they're all praying. And so here we are, all of us sitting here in our chairs, in our living rooms, in our bedrooms, in our wherever we're sitting. We're all connected by my voice. We're like a beautiful chain of being. And we're all focused on the feminine and the healing. And our church has always strived to become a balanced church. We had Barbara and Tim. So we had that beautiful couple that worked with us for all the years. And so we were able to work on our masculine and our feminine with each of them. And they were beautiful to dance with us that way. So there are novenas happening now in our church. And there's ways to get involved. There's shorter novenas, longer novenas. Just laying our hands on our church as we did on that beautiful work day that we had. There's so many ways that we can hold the healing space of Mary in each other, for each other. And without saying, oh, hey, I'm holding a space in me for, you know, but I used to experiment, and I'm going to tell you a secret of mine, is that I would experiment with Mary. And I would go to the supermarket on like 8 o'clock on Saturday morning. And that's where all the really, the people who don't want to run into anybody else do their shopping. And so you've got a lot of really interesting people in there. So I would get at the beginning of the aisle, and I just had a cart, I had a baseball hat on. I didn't, you know, draw attention to myself. But at the very beginning of the aisle, I would look down and see a person in the aisle. And I would just open my heart, and I would see a rose just floating and resonating. And I would begin to walk down the aisle. Every single time, the person would just do this as I walk by. People will feel this, y'all. And this world needs heart. And heart is one of the scariest things to walk out in a difficult world. So Mary Magdalene's our warrior. She walks out, heart open, chest free, eyes straight. Obedience without prejudice. Beautiful discernment. And I'll tell you what I've really gotten in touch with Mary Magdalene is intuition and how to walk in this world that I don't seem to fit in anymore. So here I am in the crone state of my womanhood. And I'm gray and I'm different than I've ever been before. And it's just the perfect invitation and prescription for going inward with my head down and remembering the devotion and walking into the world with my head raised and being Mary in a tough world. I surround myself with pictures of Mary because I guess that's just how I feel good. And I am the little daughter that didn't have a mother. Well, I did have a mother, but she went away really quick. And so I do have that as part of my wound that especially fits Mary. But I beseech you to welcome Mary into your heart, because if you have felt grace, she's already there. And matter cannot disappear. So the cells of all the Marys are in us too. That we're just this coalesced stardust in a human form for a little while that can imagine in a beautiful realm a connection that is bigger than anything I can understand. So, I don't know if I've left any room for anything. If someone has a burning question, let me check my notes here. Oh, I did have, you know, the idea where I began to work with the Mother Mary is birthing Jesus in every moment. You know, when we think of these things, we say, well, I just birthed him, so now I raise him. No, the beautiful cosmic Christ is birthed into every moment. If we're open to consent and open basically a womb of mercy to hold this beautiful Christ energy. I'm getting kind of preachy now, so I think, oh, there's a brave person. Deborah, I hope it's you to save me.
All right. I was thinking about the creek at the Church of Conscious Harmony and remembering that 1 year that when it was finished, it's rubber on the bottom. And the year it was finished, we had people who brought holy water from the Ganges and from Lourdes and Fatima and just, you know, all the, I don't know if I'm accurate on in Lama. Don may remember this better than I do, but we had children pour these holy waters into the creek in a ceremony with the whole community. And we blessed that creek. Tim and Barbara and so many of us were there. But after church, I walked. I was doing, you know, my closing procedures with the classrooms, and there was a force field there that lasted for hours. That was electromagnetic. It was the presence of the divine feminine, just filling the courtyard. And I don't know if you were there, but
I was
a memory to share.
Well, and we did, Deborah. I was, you know, talking to people during work day, and I was talking about that. Mm. I didn't remember. I remembered Lourdes and what did you say? So it was Lourdes,
the Ganges.
Ganges, right? Lama.
Oh no, and also the Jordan.
Jordan that's River. Right. And you know, when I hear these stories and think of these things, there's such a part of the community And that we need to tell these stories so that the, you know, when we're not here anymore, somebody's going, you know what, this little stream, you know, and begin to tell a story. We've got a little bit more gardening we're going to do. And I'm just really looking for, I mean, a lot of us older people showed up, and we had a lot of younger people and middle people. But the creation story of this church is still happening. And I love that we can share these stories about the creation, the you know, straw bale walls that are filled with icons and crystals and trucks and things, and all the things about this church that is an original church and is changing human beings and making our life balanced. It's so very beautiful. So keep telling the stories. We'll keep telling them till we check out, and then y'all can continue. Rodney?
Yeah. Hi, Mimi.
Hi, Ben.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much for incarnating the divine feminine for us tonight. Made my heart soar. In the email, one thing that really struck me was the passage that said, "Let it be with me that love's sword pierces my own soul." And that just really penetrated me with a kind of a mixture of sorrow and joy at the same time. Mm-hmm. And I remember that Tim loved Bernadette, and that Bernadette loved Mary.
So, oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. And Bernadette always said that God is too busy, you know, mm-hmm. to attend to your prayers. So go to Mary, because she gets she gets things done.
Yeah, like God will give you what you need, but Mary will give you what you want.
And I have a prayer that in times of that I'm really troubled, it's just real simple. Dear Blessed Mother Mary, please help me. And it never, never fails. And Bernadette once, when she was speaking one time at CCH, she said that, she said something that really has stayed with me and continues to inform me. And she said that in the unitive state, that, and this completely embodies the truth of Mary for me. She said that in a unified state, there is no sorrow. And then she paused and she says, and there is no joy, but it's glorious. And that's the gift that Mary has given to me.
Thank you, Rodney.
Thank you. Thank you, Mimi.
Marianne.
Thank you, Mimi. Thank you. We close our time and join together in playing aloud the prayer of God's love. That God's love is always met and will always meet all my needs. I give freely and receive joyfully. And how blessed I am to simply remain God. Protect us, Lord, while we are awake, and watch over us as we sleep. That awake we may keep watch with Christ, and asleep rest in Christ's peace. Amen.